Hello, hello, hi. Welcome to POV, You Are My Therapist, the podcast where I vent, you listen, and you do not get mad. This is your community service. So today we're talking about a couple of things, but first of all, I wanted to let you know that if you want to listen to this episode without any ads, you can always do that by subscribing to POV Plus. Okay, on the Apple Podcast app. So that is if you don't want to listen to any ads and you just want to hear what your girl has to say. Straight up, no interruptions, no funky music, no nothing weird just popping up in the middle of it. But today we're doing a Q&A episode because I realized that I had a lot of questions in my Spotify drop down thing. So I thought, you know, let me go ahead and, you know, answer some of these questions. Also, and then we might talk about the Oscars. I'm still debating. Like, there's not really much to say about it. I felt disappointed. I felt a bit slighted, you know, that Flowers of the Killer Moon did not win Best Picture. I really thought it was going to win. I'm not going to lie to you. I was disappointed that, I'm literally blanking on her name right now. I don't know why. Lily. I know her first name is Lily. Cannot remember her last name for the life of me right now. Gladstone. There we go. I was disappointed that Lily Gladstone didn't win anything. I feel like she really deserved it. But I'm also happy to know that she already has a couple movies lined up. So this is not one of the situations where Hollywood is like, oh, we love you. Okay, bye. Bye now. Go back to oblivion, wherever you're from. So I'm happy to know that. But I also need to know the same thing about Divine Joy Randolph. Okay. And I know her name is Divine, but I'm like, Divine. I'm like, we share a common moniker, Divine. But she won last night. And it just really makes me so happy to see a fat black girl named Divine win an Oscar. You do not understand. I personally thought that I was going to be the first fat black girl named Divine to win an Oscar, but I can be the second. That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, I was thrilled. She's beautiful. Oh my God. Her stylist, baby, her stylist be eating them hoes up. Okay, eating them hoes up. She has had the best run of outfits this season, this award season that I've seen in a long time. Like, to me, she's, I'm sorry, Law and Zendaya, you guys have got to catch up to my gal, okay? And I also think she's doing a lot of her own styling, because I remember reading something that she said in the that show she did with, what is his face, with The Weeknd, the idol, that she styled a lot of her own outfits. But yeah, I'm super excited. I really hope like we see her in everything. I would love it. Okay, so moving on to the questions. So I got a lot of requests regarding fixing the audio. Okay, last week I implemented a new I don't know what it is, but it's like a website. You put your sound into it and then it balances out all the levels with the common, level that is used in ads. So it just balances everything out. So I'm really hoping that worked. When I listened back to it, everything sounded really good and flush. So I hope that you feel the same way. I got a lot of requests for that one. It's like slightly embarrassing, but I'm also like, I'm just one girl. Like, please, I am working on like half a serotonin. Like, I'm one girl. Anyways, so the other question we got, this person, Melody, started off with a quote. They said, what is taste without desire? And then they said, I quote that regarding Ozempic. Do you think there'll be a need to actively practice ways to not lose touch with pleasure given the drug's effect on the brain? So you guys know I've been pretty like open about my semaglutide Ozempic journey. And honestly, that's a really good question that I have an answer to. But I've been taking a semaglutide that is compounded, which means it's not the exact Ozempic, version. And I really kind of want to move over to the exact Ozempic version or the Zepbound or the Mounjaro, like a actual, like the actual drug and not just the compounded version, which is like the generic version. Because I feel like it's kind of lost a little bit of its edge. Like, I really do. Because, like, they go up in doses every once in a while. But I found myself, y'all, I had a whole, but also I was on my period. So, like, let's be fucking real here. I was on my period. And when I tell you, I found myself craving chicken tenders, not any chicken tenders, Chick-fil-A chicken tenders. Like, and literally just, and truly I was craving MSG, which is like that umami flavor. But I don't know. I didn't eat as much, but I very much was enjoying those chicken tenders. So I cannot truly say that I think that I will lose touch with pleasure given the drug's effect on the brain. I think it is more so like it just makes you not want to eat more. Not want to eat a lot. And I will say that after I had my chicken tenders, I didn't feel too great. And definitely, like, if I eat a lot of sugar, I don't feel too good. But I really would not mind losing the relationship with pleasure that I have with sugar, because sugar on its own is highly addictive. And, like, oh, sugar on its own is highly addictive, point blank, period. I think I've been trying to, like, sever my relationship with sugar for years now, and I just have not been able to, because every time I go, like, a week, 2 weeks without eating something sweet, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can totally handle a little something sweet. And then I have a little something sweet, and then I'm like, I need all the sweet things. So I definitely have, like, I think for me, it's a lot deeper than just the drug doing its thing. Because, like, when it's doing its thing, like, I ate already today. I don't feel hungry. If I'm not in the mood for eating, I'm not hungry. If I'm not feeling some kind of emotional emptiness, I'm not hungry. But I find that when I'm hungry for other things, I'm hungry for food, which, you know, that's always a really, not always, but that's a lot of the relationship that some people have with food. And I think for some people, that's why the drug doesn't work too well, because they don't deal with that relationship that they have for food, that they have with food, that also is entangled with the relationship that they have with themselves, that they have with, you know, desire, point blank, period, with, you know, ambition, point blank, period. Like, when I feel empty in my work life, I pivot and I'm like, I want to eat things. Now I want to eat like Chick-fil-A every day, or I want to eat, you know, sugar, and I want to eat the sweet thing. So I'm definitely finding that I have to pivot what I'm working on. So I have to turn and kind of deal head first with the fact that, you know, I do use food to make myself less sad, to make myself feel something. Granted, I don't feel as much because I'm on it. I can tell you that, like, cake doesn't, like, I don't even like cake anymore. Like, that was my go-to. I would, like, my go-to on a sad, sad time, depressing day was, like, a slice of very rich chocolate cake and a glass of wine. That'd be my go-to. I have had the same bottle of wine in my fridge for the last, like, 4 months. At this point, like, I take a sip and I'm like, all right, cool. Thank you. That was great. Thank you. Bye. Like, it's gotten to the point where, like, these elaborate snacks, they're really just not that pleasant. So I just opt out for, like, a Dove bar. I did, however, make the mistake of buying you know, like how Kit Kat makes drumsticks. I bought one, like, not one. I wish I bought one. I bought that shit in bulk. And then the part of my brain that, like, is excessive and overeats, like, was devouring through them. And I'm like, I don't recognize that lady. Like, I don't know who she is. I'm like, stop. We don't even like this. It doesn't even taste that good. Knock it off. But yeah, so that was a long-winded answer to that question. Somebody else, I don't know how to, I think it's Seaway. They said, hey girly, how can I unlearn seeking emotional attention from people who are emotionally unavailable? Because I find it difficult due to having parents which were never emotionally available. I mean, asking a question like that, I think, is a great place to start, because at least you know what you're doing and you're aware of what you're doing. And it shows the capacity and the ability to look at somebody and know that they are emotionally unavailable. Granted, does that stop that yearning, that something in your loins that goes after the guy or the girl who is just disinterested in everything? No. Because to this day, as worked on emotionally and therapized as I am, nothing is hotter to me than a broken man. Okay. But, you know, when you want to go after those people, when you want to engage with those people, I think it's best to just step back out of yourself and take a step back from who you are as a person. Literally, how does one say this kindly? Disassociate. Disassociate, step back, and really look at it from a wide point of view and be like, if this was my friend, I'm looking at myself as if I'm my friend, and she's going after this fucking loser, what are you doing? You know? And then you look at them for what they are, and, you know, emotionally unavailable, broken, somebody who will never be able to give you what you look for, who their brokenness, two broken dishes don't make a dish. It makes a fucking mess. Oh, that was a good one. Two broken dishes don't make a dish. It makes a mess. So just remember that that is what it is, and that you deserve better, and that you are looking for stability. You're looking for love. You're looking for somebody who doesn't run, and their fight or flight is not triggered when the idea of care is brought up for them or for you. So that is one thing I try to remind myself when I find myself like being attracted to like fucking dipshits. I'm like, girl, that is not what you want. I'm like, is that who you want your baby father to be? No. So that's what I do. Somebody else asked, Beauty Makel, I think. They asked, I have a best friend who I introduced to two other close friends, but the two of them started hanging without me. Is it wrong for me to want my friends to give me blind loyalty? This question made me cackle because no. In a perfect world, no, it's not. Like, in a world where like we're being extremely unreasonable, no, it's not. Yeah, it's not wrong for me to want everybody to love me and give me blind loyalty. But is that the reality of it? No. I had a really hard time accepting that my friends had other friends, because I just, you know, I always just wanted somebody that I was the center of the universe, how they were the center of my universe, how you're my best friend. And they look at me and they say, you're my best friend. And I'm like, great. And then, you know, when something good happens, they're the first person I call. And then for them, when something good happens, I'm the first person they call. There's a lot of people in my life who are like that, but at the same time, I know I'm not their best friend. They will call me when something good happens in their work life. Will they call me when they're engaged? No. But, you know, and then I have another friend who they'll call me when they get engaged, but if they get promoted to becoming the CEO, you have been promoted. They're not calling me. So that used to always hurt me. But once I kind of put myself as the center of my life, and I was like, you know, I can be all of these things for myself and still want that from other people, it didn't hurt as bad. So, and also, like, I don't really keep it from my friends. Like, when they're like, I'm going to go do this thing with my other friend, I'm like, how dare you? Like, I just can't believe you have other friends. So, you know, I'm not hiding that part of myself, but I'm also not keeping, I'm not approaching it in a way that can be like detrimental to the relationship. Because, you know, your friends are going to have other friends. And at some point, there is probably somebody in your life that they are a little jealous that you have other friends. And you probably don't want to be their bestie or their only friend. So I think it's a matter of, you know, understanding, and also making sure that, yeah, you have your friends and you're open to making new friends, you're open to meeting new people, that you're not closing yourself off to extending your tribe and learning other people and becoming friends with other people. However, though, I do want to say the use of loyalty here, I don't know why you use that word, but I will say that, you know, your friends should always be loyal. Like, not in the means of who they spend their time with, but if you know, you have somebody that's mean to you or about you, or they talk a lot of shit, like, your friend should not be hanging out with them. Like, that to me is what I think about when I think about loyalty. I feel like loyalty should be like, okay, why would I hang out with this person when they're a shit talker and they stir mess up with my other friend? But yeah, so that's my answer on that. Shay Marie asked, how do you keep hope alive if you don't want to be? LOL, baby, the weight of the world is on that LOL. Girl, great question. Beautiful gowns, great question. It's hard. It really is. Like, for me, a lot of it is not letting myself getting to the place where hope feels like it's dying in the first place. Because sometimes I wake up and I wake up on the wrong side of the bed and I open my eyes and I already feel, I'm like, today is going to be one of those. And I'm like, my depression, I can feel the serotonin levels dropping. I can feel all of it. And then I start, you know, the little thoughts start entering. They start with, you know, you might actually be a loser. Did you ever consider that one? And then that's when I'm like, no, we're not. We're not doing that. So the minute that starts, literally the minute I wake up and like those thoughts start, where, you know, the temptation to just fucking rip myself apart, I start giving myself tasks. Like, I start giving myself things I have to do, and like, I start distracting myself. Like, I don't do anything that requires me to sit down and think too long. I do things that, you know, that keep me active and like kind of keep me engaged, like running errands, going to the gym, reorganizing. Like, I just reorganized my whole closet and I'm like, what am I going to do now? What am I going to use as an excuse when I'm having a terrible mental day and I need to really engage myself in something? My room is now perfect. Like, what am I going to do? But I'm like, you'll find something else to do, bitch. You'll start making paper if you fucking have to. But I try not to let myself get to that point where I feel like hope is dying, because it is hard to come back from there. But if you are there, the best thing to do is you start doing distractions. A lot of my friends fucking hate when I tell them that. They hate it. But when they're in their depression era and I'm like, babe, you got to do something. You need to do something. You need to go outside. You need to go on a drive. You need to do something. Like, do something to keep your mind off of how you feel. They're like, fuck you. I hate it when you do that. And I'm like, I know, but I'm right. And I am always right. So, you know, finding a hobby that you want to do, something that might take a long time to learn, has a lot of steps to it. Is this the time that you want to learn how to paint? Is this the time that you want to learn how to build? Have you always been into puzzles, but you haven't really had the time to learn how to do it? Have you always wanted to learn how to do nails? Have you always wanted to take sewing classes? Depression is a great time to start those hobbies. I'm so serious, because what? Idle hands are the what? Devil's playground. I'm so fucking serious. I really am. Literally, when I was at the worst of my depression, I absolutely started thinking about doing, like, building miniature calico houses. You know what I'm talking about? Those little calico critter houses. That shit was in my Amazon cart. But I think instead I started doing something else that I already had in my house, because I didn't want to spend money. But you got this. You're good. Somebody else, how do I stop pushing people away? How do I keep people around? That is a two-part question with a one-part answer, that I think it starts with liking yourself. because a lot of the times the reason why we push people away when we want people around us is because we feel like we're not deserving of their love, of their time, that they're going to find something out about us that is going to make them, you know, leave us, and it's just not going to be worth it. And while that might be true, it's also important to remember that we're constantly working on ourselves, and it's important that we have people around us that know that, that acknowledge that, not that you're working on yourself, but that you are human and that you may say the wrong thing. You may be a little cold. You may do the wrong thing. You may come off a way that you don't want to come off. But it's important to have people around us that when we do that, they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? That they're not just, okay, I'm not going to talk to you. It's that, what's wrong with you? The other day, I was actually thinking about these two instances I had. I had two instances that were very similar to each other. I had two friends, not at the same time, but I had one friend who was very depressed. And at that time, I was not a good friend. I can actively say that, because I just didn't know how to deal with a depressed person. So in their mind, you know, they probably thought, damn, I pushed her away. But in all honesty, I just wasn't open to the human condition. I was not. I was already so fucked and so broken and so emotionally detached and going through so much that I couldn't imagine taking emotional care of somebody else at that point. So I was too broken to deal with that. The next time somebody else came into my life and, you know, they had a lot of emotional stuff going on, I was in a better place and I had learned more empathy, sympathy, care. I had a bit more of the mental stamina required to deal with people who have depression, that who need to get out of that dark place. And there were a lot of times when that friendship was extremely hard. It was extremely hard. And I wanted to bail so bad. But I had to keep reminding myself that, like, yo, think about how lucky you are for the friends who didn't bail when you were a sad sack of shit. Like, you know, you can't bail just because people are going through life. Like, that's not fair. So that second time around, I put myself in that position and I remembered what it was like. And I tried to help as much as I could. And, you know, we're still friends and everything's fine now. But I think it's really important to seek out relationships with people who have empathy, who have sympathy. And I'm not saying go towards people who you know can fix you. That is not what I mean at all. But I mean, like, people who are not going to lie to you about, like, if you're being weird, they're not going to, like, pussyfoot around it. They're just going to be like, what is going on? Do you need to talk? Like, people who are just open to the throes and ups and downs of life. I hope that was a helpful answer. I don't know if it was. Amelia said, I'm so lost on deciding what I want. Should I move or stay? How do you manage these life choices? And then they said, anyways, love ya. You've helped me so much. You have no idea. Blessings, mommy. I love how y'all type. It's so funny. It's so funny because it's like we're texting. Grammar be damned. I love it. But big life decisions, I don't know. Because, like, okay, so recently, I was complaining about my mother to my therapist, as one does. And the question came up again, should I move or should I stay? And my therapist was like, she was like, how much does your peace of mind, how much do you value it? I'm like, I value that shit a lot. But I also feel like if I were to move now in this economical situation, I'd be so fucking I wouldn't have peace of mind. I feel like I'm choosing between I'm choosing between not having peace of mind and not having peace of mind, not having peace of mind one way and then not having peace of mind another way. So I was like, the benefits are not really outweighing the cons here. I tend to let life do its thing. I like to sit back and kind of just watch everything unfold and try to see where things are headed. I don't like to jump into things. I find jumping very scary, okay? I like to dip my toe in. And when I dip my toe in, I like to feel that the bottom of the pool is right there so that, you know, I can gradually walk in, because there are so many things that just scare the shit out of me. And like homelessness is one of them. And, you know, lack of funds is another. Like, I think about these things. So I tend to be a very careful decision maker. I also try not to make decisions based off of my emotions, because baby, them emotions will very much steer you wrong just because they're so fucking fickle. Like, you might be feeling so like jumpy and like you need to go, like you need to go. And then come to find out your irritability is stemming from your period. I hate to be that person, but if you have PMDD like I do, like that shit can send you into full psychosis. So it's like, you know, take your time to make sure you're doing the right thing. Nolly Polly asked, why did you get rid of text to my therapist? Nolly Polly, I did not get rid of text to my therapist. You probably don't see text to my therapist because you're listening on Spotify. Text to my therapist is available exclusively for people who listen on Apple Podcasts and are subscribed to POV Plus on the Apple Podcast app. Now, text to my therapist is in a little bit of a hiatus because I wasn't watching a lot of TV. I wasn't reading a lot. I wasn't doing a lot, like when it came to entertainment and like being on TikTok and stuff like that. So it's on a bit of a hiatus, but it will be back pretty soon because I've been watching movies. I've been taking notes in my little notepad. I've been reading books. I have quite a few book reviews to do. So there's a lot that can be talked about for text to my therapist, but I had just taken a tiny little break from that because I'd gotten overwhelmed with the news cycle. But yeah, it's exclusively on Apple Podcasts, on POV Plus. You have to be subscribed to it. But when you subscribe, you get text to my therapist and you also get no ads. Isn't that so nice? You get zero ads when you subscribe to POV Plus. So next question, Kalia said, how do I get over the guy who begged me to give him a chance, love Bonnie, and then managed to manipulate and confuse me? How do you get through a confusing anti-rejection? The grasp you have on the English language, that was really beautifully put. First of all, you have to say fuck him. And second of all, you have to understand that like, so much of the things that people do to us have very little to do with us. Like the feeling of rejection is so, it's so draining and so painful and it's so awful. And it makes us really question who we are, like really bad. I recently, and I think a good time to bring in a little bit of pop culture is now, that was my finger. Okay, I did not fart. I was watching Love is Blind, and you guys know I don't watch Love is Blind. I fucking watch one episode, actually two. I watched the finale, the wedding, and then I watched the reunion, and then everything else I watch on TikTok, because TikTok will give me what I need to see, the clips I need to know. So I watched that, and spoiler, big fat spoiler right now, if you're not caught up, one of the girls got rejected at the altar, okay? She got rejected at the altar, and that man was grinning in her face, telling her like he loved her right up to the minute he rejected her, which was just fucking awful. And what I found so sad was she was like, I'm not good enough, like I'm not good enough. And I'm like, girl, no, that man is a loser. Okay, that man is a loser. A lot of men just, they have, I don't know, man. I don't want to generalize, but I'm fucking about to, because what can I do here? There's a lot of guys, they have all of the normal human feelings, right? They have all of the normal human feelings, and they will act on them. Sometimes really great behavior. You know, they will act on them. They will loop some poor girl into the mix and give her all the love. And it might be real. Like, that's the shitty part. It might be like real love that they're giving you real care, real honesty, real emotions. They're giving that to you, but then they turn around and reject you. And the reason is not you. The reason is not you're the problem. What they're really rejecting is those emotions. They're rejecting vulnerability. They're rejecting authenticity. They're rejecting sleeping on their back with their belly in the air because they're like, you know, they're projecting as well because they're thinking, you know, if she's anything like me, then, you know, if she's anything like me in the way I view relationships, why wouldn't like she fuck me over? Like I have to hurt her before she hurts me. Like I got to leave before, you know, she runs out on me. And we take that, you know, we take the weight of that upon ourselves a lot of the times and we blame ourselves. But it's like, no, it's really not us. It really has to do with that man and his daddy and whatever problems they got. So we just like, it does suck being rejected because it does get to the point where you're just like, damn, like, is it me? Like, when is my time going to come? Like, why am I not enough to make somebody realize what is good for them and what love is? Like, why am I not enough to, like, help somebody understand, like, the love they deserve? But can I tell you that Jesus himself could come down to this earth in his sandals and man skirt, and he could be like, this woman is love. This is your love. And I'm giving it to you. And that man is still going to fuck it up. I'm so serious. Like, I'm dead serious. And it's true. Like, it's not you. Like, at the end of the day, it's individual people. Think about the unhinged shit you've done when you're scared. And this is not to sympathize with them, but it's just so you can understand that it has nothing to do with you. The unhinged shit that so many people do when they're scared, the way they run, the adrenaline they get, being able to lift cars and shit, that's not in your character. It's really not. But when you're afraid, you do things you didn't think you would do before. And that includes hurting people that you love. And yeah, they're probably going to try to spin the block and all that stuff. But again, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, knowing what you deserve and knowing that you deserve somebody who is in touch with their emotions, who is not manipulative, who is not going to reject you, who, when they see love, they approach it enthusiastically and with care, and they don't run in the opposite direction. Somebody else, Saf's Interlude, said, how do I not get so depressed when seeing everybody and they mama out on the weekends? My FOMO gets so deep. I get so sad. Please help. FOMO is such a bitch, but I mean, go out on the weekends. I know. I get it. Go out on the weekends. Ask a friend to go out. I have no shame in interjecting myself in people's plans. I'm really serious. I have no shame in interjecting myself in people's plans. And I used to be really self-conscious about it. But I kind of realized that, like, when people want you around, they will invite you again. So I remember, like, last year, I had, like, lost a good bit of my friend group. So I started interjecting myself into other people's plans. Like, my friends would be, like, I would text them randomly and I'd be like, hey, like people I've never hung out one-on-one with. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And then they'd be like, oh, I'm doing this, this, and this. And then if they just tell me what they're doing and they don't invite me, I don't push it. But if they tell me what they're doing and they're like, oh, you should come, then I come. And then, you know, a lot of the times, like we have a great time. And then, you know, I'm invited out again and it's nice and stuff. But the other thing is if you're not in a situation like that where you don't even have those kind of acquaintances that you can build friendships upon, just go out. Like we have this huge fear of talking to people. But when I tell you, the world is full of yappers, okay? I know when I used to not like doing things by myself because, you know, it felt like I was doing something by myself. I felt lonely in a public place surrounded by people with other people there. And I did not like that. But I started yapping. I started, you know, having like little conversations with people, like complimenting the lady on her purse. Sorry, I'm clipping my nails. I am so grotesque. I'm so sorry. But I would start having like conversations with people. I'd compliment their outfits, or like if I'm eating somewhere, I'd be like, "Oh my God, what did you order? That looks so good." And then they would tell me, and then they'd be like, "Oh my God, yeah, like it's really good." And then like she's like, "You know, I had this dish, a similar dish, like in this place not that long ago. I think that was better." And I'm like, "Oh, what's that place's place? Oh, what's that place's name?" You just really have to be interested in talking to other people and being open to having like fun conversations with strangers, to yap with strangers. It's nice. It honestly, doing that, going places alone, and once I got over the embarrassment and the self, you know, projected shame that I put on myself for being out alone, I started making random friends in public, and it was nice, and I loved it. So yeah, that's my advice. It's hard at first, but it gets a lot easier. This next question, also the last question, Yasmin Alexis said, "I love this episode. I've been single for 6 months now, and I've been going through, the same," I don't know what episode she commented this on, but anyways, I think maybe I was talking about being single, but she's basically saying that she's focused on me and the idea of a man is not great. She's focused on herself. She said that the 5-minute gratitude journey app helped her mind a lot. That was not a question. I was supposed to phrase that like a statement. I don't know why I phrased that like a question, but I did. But yeah, you know, this last couple, y'all, I have not had a boy toy in so long. Oh my God, it pains me. I'm laughing, but I'm in pain. The last time I kissed a man was in October, late October. This is devastating. I miss the smell of testosterone. I do. I miss it so bad. Wow. But it's just not, like, it's just not giving. Literally the other night, like, I laid in bed, like, straight, like a psycho, which is how, like, I have my best thoughts when I'm laying in bed with, like, literally straight, arms by my side, neck on the pillow, like, just on my back. And I was just like, God, like, you need to send me a gentle man. Like, you need to send me a gentle man. Yes, a gentleman, but a gentleman. I need a Mr. Rogers. I need a Jimmy Carter. I need somebody soft and sweet and kind, who is nurturing and caring. That's what I need. Like, literally was like begging on my hands and knees. Jesus, send me a kind, loving man. Cause bitch, I'm over it. Like, I'm over it. I'm seeing the shit that the girls are going through, and I'm like, okay, yeah, the men are questionable at best. Like, it's so nutty. But yeah, the idea of, like, I don't know, the way I used to think about dating is so foreign to me now. That desperation and that really deep loneliness aching that I used to feel is so foreign to me now, because I have such a good time on my own. And then I'm also like, I'm constantly at every corner of life. Literally, if I don't remind myself, if the internet doesn't remind me, somebody in real life will remind me that men shorten your lifespan. And I don't mean that. I mean, being violent. And, you know, most people who do crimes are men, but also just the stress of them. Like, will shorten your lifespan, give you a heart attack, give you a fucking stroke, a whole host of shit. So I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that to begin with. So, you know, that's like something that has been on my mind. So that's why I'm like, I don't want just any man. I need the literal kindest man that has ever set foot on this planet. Literally an angel amongst men. That's what I need. I'm like, I'd like him to be tall still. I know. That's my one caveat. I'm like, 6'1", Jesus. Listen to me. Listen to your girl. But I shan't look past or over him if he's under 6'1". I will remember what I asked for, okay? But yeah, so that was today's quick little Q&A. I love you guys so much. I don't know what the next episode is going to be about, but it will have a straight up topic. Okay. I have a few interviews that like I have to kind of go through to see what I talk about. But yes, there will be an episode on Friday. Sorry, this came out on Monday. I'm really actually not that sorry. I did not feel that great this weekend. Not from depression, but literally I had a tummy ache that would not let me live my best, most beautiful princess life. And it was just too much. But thank you for listening. I love you so much. If you have any questions, leave them in the question area on Spotify, or you can leave them in the comments on Apple Podcast. As always, I love you. Thank you for listening. Please leave a review and rating if you haven't. Even if you have, do it again. Thanks. And also the best way to support an independent podcast is by subscribing on Apple Podcast at POV Plus, subscribing and also sharing it with somebody that you like and love and you think, oh, you know, Divine is really funny. She has some great episodes. You should listen. Okay. So I love you so much. Bye.